I'm just going to open in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you made a way.
Amen.
And that's a way that will always be there for us, that more than meets our need. And today, God, I pray that my words will usher myself and others into your presence, into the throne room of God himself, that we'll meet with you, that we'll be blown away by a vision of just what it is you've done through the cross. Because we want to know you more. We want to be close to you. We want to meet with you. In Jesus' name. If you look at your notice sheet, you'll see that we're starting a brand new series today. And no, there isn't a mistake. I actually am speaking 2 weeks in a row. There's a reason for that. And it's not just because you have trouble shutting me up. It's not just that. What we're starting with this sermon series, we're looking at the idea of Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. Now, this is an idea that was actually introduced to the church last year when Adie was speaking on Jesus. And she used this phrase that at the time the preaching team, we thought, right, there's so much meat in that it needs to be unpacked to the church. We need to explore it because there's more than just a phrase in that. In actual fact, the idea of Jesus as prophet, priest, and king, it runs all the way back to the church fathers. The phrase was actually first used by Eusebius about a few hundred years after Christ. Then in the Reformation, John Calvin taught a lot about it. And since then, it's a phrase that's run through the Reformed tradition constantly. We felt, right, with so much meat there, we need to unpack it and explore just what does it mean to say that Jesus is a prophet, that Jesus is a priest, that Jesus is a king. And then as well, what does it mean for us? Because we are found in Christ Jesus. So everything that is his by nature becomes ours by grace. So if he is a prophet, then we are a prophetic people. If he is the great high priest, then we are a priesthood. If he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then we are a royal people. All these things are true of us because we are found in Christ. And so as a result, this sermon series is going to be a little bit different to the ones we're used to. Because each one of these, we're going to spend 2 weeks exploring it. The first week, we're going to be looking at how Jesus is one of these things. And then the second week, how we are caught up in Christ. And this is part of us as well. So it's quite an interesting and different series. And that's why I fancied doing two in a row. Because I wanted to actually finish the thoughts that I'm expressing today. This, if you like, is part one. Next week is part two. Each one can stand on its own, but together, wow, they speak spiritual truth. So, we're going to do them out of order, just because. And I'm not going to speak on prophet. I'm going to speak on priest. So I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 7. And we're going to look at verses 26 through to chapter 8, verse 2. I'll give you a moment to get there. While you're just turning to it, Hebrews is one of the most interesting books in the Bible because it serves as a bridge between the Old Testament and the New. It connects the two and it explains to us how to interpret some of the ideas and concepts and ministries in the Old Testament, and it shows how they point forward to Christ. So if you like, it's an interpretative tool as much as anything to say, here's what was, and here's what it means. So, such a high priest truly meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness. But the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Now, the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. The central theme of Hebrews is simply this, that what we have in Christ is infinitely superior to everything that what was before. And so, the writer of Hebrews here is focusing on the priesthood in the Old Testament, looking at different aspects of it, and indeed the limitations of the priesthood, and then saying, and see, in Jesus, we have one who is infinitely greater. We have a great high priest whose ministry is infinitely superior to any high priest ministry in the history of the world. And so what I'm going to do today is just unpack what that means for us. First, the writer of Hebrews stresses that this great high priest is perfect and blameless. Now, in the Old Testament, the priests had one major responsibility. They had to make the sin offerings to God. They had to sacrifice animals to God for the sins of the people to remove the barrier of sin between God and man. But because the priests were themselves sinful people, before they could even do that, they first had to offer a sacrifice for their own sins. These were sinful men. And they too had a barrier of sin between them and God. But this great high priest, Jesus, he is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. And so Jesus didn't need to make an offering for his own sin. He didn't need to say, here, Father, forgive me so that I can come into your presence and minister for others. No. He was perfect to begin with. And as a result, he could go into the Father's presence for us straight away. There was no barrier between him. No barrier at all. Because of that, his sacrifice is completely different. You see, those high priests in Old Testament times, they had to sacrifice an animal. Jesus, he offered himself. That's why John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Because Jesus didn't just offer an animal, he offered himself. And here's the thing, that made all the difference. Because his sacrifice was once for all. And this is the thought that's really been blowing my mind as I looked at this verse. Because the writer of Hebrews ends this little section by saying that he sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. No other high priest could ever do that. Because their ministry was never over. There was always another sacrifice that had to be presented. But Jesus, his work was finished on the cross once for all. What does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament ministry, they offered a sacrifice to make people right with God. And that was all well and good. But just think about it. The sacrifice was offered. The person walked out. He'd been made right with God. And then he looked at someone lustfully. He grew angry. He grew bitter. He cheated. He sinned. And suddenly, that sacrifice that had made him right with God was no longer effective. How do we know that? Because part of the Jewish tradition was that he'd have to come back and offer another sacrifice. So clearly, the death of the lamb, it wasn't enough. This sacrifice, it was only effective for just one moment. So for that one moment, a person was made right with God, and then, boom, the barrier was back. It's pretty heartbreaking when you think about it like that, that these people could never have a sacrifice that actually met their need, that put them into a lasting relationship, that there would always be another barrier. But Jesus, his sacrifice was once for all. There is no sin you have ever done that is not crucified on the cross with Christ. There is no sin you will ever do that was not put to death on the cross with Christ. There is no chain that binds you that is not broken through Jesus' death. And there is no chain you will ever, bless you, there is no chain you will ever attach to yourself that will not be broken by the cross of Christ. That death is effective over everything that ever was and ever will be. That means that there is now no barrier between you and God. Yes, we do communion as a symbol to point to what Christ accomplished through the cross. But you aren't saved by that. You aren't saved by it. And in truth, the cross of Christ is just as effective on Wednesday afternoon when you're walking down the high street as it is today when you're in church and about to take communion. The cross of Christ is effective over every moment of your life, over every sin that has ever been. It stands there, superior, infinitely superior. That's why Jesus could sit down. His work was finished. No other sacrifice would ever be needed to make man right with God. Ever. But it gets even better than that. Because the priest had one other role that I'm going to look at today as well. The priest was responsible for coming before God on behalf of the people. So the priest would enter into God's presence and would pray for the people. Would say, God, so-and-so needs this. So-and-so needs that. This person's ill. This person's struggling. This person has a need, an unfulfilled desire. This person is in desperate need of your intervention, God. This person needs healing. And they'd bring those prayers before God. That was known as their service. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about when he says that Jesus serves in the sanctuary. Later in Hebrews, he says that he lives to intercede. That means that right now, Jesus is in the presence of God, ministering on behalf of his people. Saying to the Father, look at them. Look at this person. They have a need. Look at Mike at school. Father, bless him. Look at Priyanka. Look at her. Bless her. Pour out your blessing upon her now, Father. Look at you. You know what? The last time Jesus mentioned your name to the Father? Now. He lives to intercede for his people. Your name is always on his lips. He is always saying, Father, look at them. Look at them. Look at them. And that again is such a mind-blowing idea that the Father, that Jesus is so committed to each one of us, that his attention is focused upon us. And where a high priest needed to sleep, he doesn't. And so even in the dead of night, he's mentioning your name to the Father. This is a shocking thought. Even at the very moment you are sinning, he's still mentioning your name to the Father. Even then. And the great high priest, he's not going to forget. I don't know if we get the prayer chain text, and I'm going to be honest with you. There are ones that I forget. Sometimes they'll come through when I'm in the middle of something. And only afterwards will I look and think, I meant to pray for that. You know what? He doesn't forget you. He's never going to forget you. Could he forget the wounds in his hands? He bought you at a price, such a dear price. And he could no more forget you than he can forget those wounds. And so he's there, saying your name, recognizing your need, bringing your situation before the Father, praying blessing upon you every second. It's a wonderful thought when you send around a prayer chain text and you think, somebody is on my side. Somebody's there for me right now. They're praying for me. Well, here's the good news. Someone is doing that already. Jesus, the great high priest who lives to intercede for his people, is on your side, praying blessing upon you. What does this mean? Well, first, it means we were saved by a perfect sacrifice. There is now nothing that can get between us and God. Nothing. All barriers have been torn down. At the moment Jesus died, the curtain in the temple that cut the Holy of Holies off from the rest of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And that was one of the most powerful symbols in all of Scripture. Because these curtains, they weren't, you know what our curtains are like, the tiny, thin fabric things. These were thick curtains. They did not tear. And the fact it was torn from top to bottom signified that this wasn't a case of somebody had trodden on it and it was a case of, in the moment Jesus died, God took hold of that curtain and shredded it in two. There was no longer a barrier between the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God, and the rest of the people. All barriers were torn apart when Jesus died. He did that for us, and that is true today. That is true tomorrow. That will be true for the rest of your life. And there is nothing you can do that can put that curtain back, because it is torn apart forever. In Psalm 32, David writes, "Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are atoned for." And that word blessed, it could be more accurately be translated, "All blessedness is to the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are atoned for." All blessedness. Because our transgressions are forgiven through the cross of Christ, because our sins have been atoned for through the sacrifice of this great high priest, every blessing in heaven is ours. Now, all too often, we're focused on the wrong blessing. The first blessing that God wants to give to us, the greatest blessing he could ever give to us, is himself. Himself. He knows his own value, his own worth. He knows that the greatest blessing we could ever have is himself. And so, he's made that way. But it does mean more than that as well. It does mean that there are the blessings of heaven, blessings of provision, blessings of healing, blessings of peace, blessings of circumstances changed, of situations put right. And sometimes we look at our lives and we don't know why things are taking so long, as we've been saying already today. We don't know. And I wish I had answers for you. But to be absolutely honest, I'm not convinced that if I had answers, they'd help. All I can say is, by faith, all blessedness belongs to the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are atoned for. I can say that by faith because it comes through the ministry of this great high priest, through the cross of Christ, which is more than enough to meet our needs. And that leads to the last thing that it means, that this great high priest, He will always be on our side, always ministering for us. And that ministry, it will last forever, forever, until the end of time itself. As I've looked at this, I've just been blown away by the reality that this is who my Jesus is for me and for you. He is the great high priest, and he invites us into the presence of his Father. And I've just, it's blown my mind looking at these verses, realizing all too often I think, right, I need to get into this place. I need to, oh, I feel far away from you at the minute, God. I need to get into this place. And Jesus says, hold on. My hand is outstretched. I'm saying, come on. Get into my presence. Get into the throne room. I did it. I got you into that place by what I did on the cross. Now there's nothing can hold you back. Nothing. And so that's why I wanted to do communion after this sermon, really. Because this whole sermon has been focused on what Christ accomplished through the cross. Because the cross was his ministry as the great high priest. Everything that we have is ours through the cross of Christ. Everything. The open access we have to the Father, that comes through the death of the Son. And all the blessings of heaven, they come to us through the cross of Christ. And so it just felt right that we do communion after the sermon this week rather than before. Because I wanted us really to say, right, I claim that. I want to live in the truth that I have access. I want to live in it. So, I'm going to close in prayer. While I do, would someone be okay to let the kids know that the sermon's coming to a close? Because obviously we want the children, the youth, to be part of communion as well. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you accomplished all this through the cross. That your grace is more than sufficient for my need. That you took my sin to the cross when you died. You put it to death. That everything I will ever do, it was there with you. That now nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus my Lord. And I pray now that you will seal that truth upon my heart once again. And that you will do the same for every single person who's heard the sermon today. For the people who are listening through the podcast. You will seal that truth upon our hearts. There is now nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing ever can do that. Seal that truth upon our hearts. And God, I come before you and I thank you so much that I have an advocate in heaven who ministers for me, who is saying my name now and now and now and now. And I thank you that that is true of every one of us in this room as well, that we, all of us, have an advocate who is saying our name. And so God, as we come to the communion table today, I pray that you will reveal these truths to us once again. That the magnitude of them will just blow us away. So that we spend the week with you, in your presence, actually living in the truth of what you've done through the cross. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our great high priest. Amen.